Werbung.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Werbung Ende.
Powerplay, der Eishockey-Podcast rund um die Blue Devils Weiden von Oberpfalz Medien.
Der Powerplay-Podcast wird Ihnen präsentiert von der Meyerhöfer-Gruppe. Wir bringen Metall in Form.
Servus, liebe Eishockey-Freunde, zu Powerplay, dem Eishockey-Podcast rund um die Blue Devils Weiden. Mein Name ist Fabian Lieb und bei mir ist auch heute wieder mein allseits geschätzter Kollege Thomas Webel. Tom, servus.
Servus, Fabian.
So, und Max haben wir in Urlaub geschickt. Der bereitet sich auf die Playdowns gegen Kaufbeuren vor.
Hat er das verdient?
Doch. Der hat schon viel gemacht in den letzten Wochen. Und wir bereiten uns hier auch auf das Finale, das Abstiegsfinale der Blue Devils gegen den ESV Kaufbeuren vor. Und wer könnte das mit uns besser machen als der, der die Mannschaft am besten kennt, der sie täglich sieht. Deswegen switchen wir jetzt wieder um ins Englische. Denn bei uns ist heute der Coach Alan Letang. And Mr. Letang, thank you again for joining us, especially in such a difficult situation. And thank you for coming.
I appreciate you guys having me.
Yes. I mentioned it's a difficult situation right now. How are you personally dealing with everything right now?
I think we're taking it as a group a day at a time. Obviously, the disappointment from the Nauheim series, but it's an opportunity, I think, for this group to kind of rewrite the ending to their season now, right? Where you get to win the last game of the season, the last potential series of the season, and go into the summer with positive feelings and come back next year with no one's going to remember the adversity you went through back in September a year ago. They're going to just remember how we finish up. So it's important for us to get our mindset right, to change our way of thinking and go into this series with confidence and passion.
You mentioned the disappointing series against Nauheim. How have the past few days been for you as a coach? Have you had a chance to catch your breath?
Yeah. We've done some stuff. I've, had some opportunities to, connect with the group a little bit more under some more relaxed situations. And I think we took 2 days off after the series to relax a little bit and get away from the rink, get away from hockey. And we came back Monday and we kind of just did like an autopsy on the series. We have to find ways to learn from the adversity we face, learn from the disappointment. If you don't learn from those hard times and you go and make the same mistakes, then we have some issues. So we needed to learn what we needed to do better for this series, which is manage pucks better, defend a little bit better, like we did in the first two games. And I think we got away from that identity in the second two, and, we'll learn from that and we'll be better on Friday.
Okay. It's been 10 games with the Blue Devils for you. What has been the toughest moment for you since you're taking over?
Yeah, it's trying to, I don't know, it's trying to put a finger on where things went wrong during the season when you're not here. Obviously, the adversity that they've dealt with all year through injuries, through ups and downs, and it, you don't realize how much it erodes a player's confidence or a team's confidence when you have all that adversity. And I think coming in, potentially you're unaware of how severe it was or all the things that happened. And I think now that I've had a longer look, I've had a more of an opportunity to watch some more games live. You kind of see where the group is fragile, where individuals are fragile, and now you can kind of help. Build them up. You can kind of help them rehab and heal those mistakes in the game, and hopefully it turns to a positive for them moving forward here.
Okay, Tom is our statistic guy. He had a look on the statistic on the Nauheim series, I think. Yeah.
And they weren't looking too good. I just wrote it down for me. And the first playoff round against Bad Nauheim, the Devils had 117 shots on the Bad Nauheim goal, which is really, really much. But they only scored 3 goals. That works out at 39 shots per goal, which made the Blue Devils in this playdown round by far the least efficient team. So on the one hand, the Blue Devils attack is generating many, many chances. On the other hand, few of them result in goals. How can that be, and what can you do to change it?
Yeah, well, I think if you take a heat map of where those shots generated from, I think our issue was a lot of them generated from outside the typical home plate that is the metric for hockey, right? You want to get inside the dots. You want to get into the top of the circle.
Inside this triangle.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right. It's like a home plate or a triangle. That's what you want to get into. And if you settle for those outside shots, those are easier saves. If there's no traffic in front of the goalie, those are easier saves. So we had to find ways to generate inside a little bit more. So we've worked on a little bit of that, this week. And I think it's more just having that conversation of guys, like, we're settling for stuff on the outside, which at times is easy, because when you go inside, now you're getting sticks on your arms, you're getting pushed around, you're getting slashed around. And, you know, we have to give Nauheim a little bit of credit. They defended very well inside the dots, and we were unwilling or unable to get inside. So that's kind of our main objective moving forward here on Friday.
Do you have the expected goals data available for us?
I looked at it. I can't recall offhand. I think I forget what I looked at when I looked on Instat. It was
okay. We're looking forward, and apart from the lack of scoring, there seems to be a lack of confidence. I think. What kind of medicine is the Dr. Letang prescribing to fix those issues before the decisive series?
Yeah, well, I think it's like we talked about. I think it's just recognizing it, acknowledging it, showing some of those clips where maybe we're not in front of the net. I don't think we generated a whole lot of rebound chances in that series. Like when I broke it down, when I talked about it, it was our power play needed to be more dangerous. Obviously, we weren't generating enough high quality scoring chances. We weren't generating a whole lot of rebound chances. We were generating a lot of turnovers in the O zone. So when you shoot from the outside, the goalie makes a save. When the other team grabs it, they're already gone in transition. So now you get no momentum in the O zone. You don't break down the D zone. And I think that's where we had to get to. We wanted more sustained offense, but we wanted more high quality inside. So, you know, I think it's just in practice. You come down and in shooting drills in practice, and anything we do in practice, you're focused on hitting the net. You're focused on creating a rebound. You're focused on stopping in front of the net. And I think over the course of a season, when you lose your confidence, when you get a lot of distractions of ups and downs and injuries, those little details become so important that you forget about them, and they're not harped upon by the coaching staff or by individual players.
You have the practice and you have the personal talks to the players. How can a coach instill confidence to a team or in a team without playing games?
I think it's just building that relationship with them, like helping them find their game, find their confidence. So you grab a guy like Alex and you're like, hey, what makes you a good player? What are the characteristics that you do? He's hard on pucks, he skates very well, he crashes the net. Well, let's simplify your game, let's get back to just doing that. You're going to find a couple loose pucks around the net, and you know, maybe a goal or two goes in. You know, like a Wardo, he's more of a in space type player that wants to shoot the puck. So how do we get you in more space? How does the puck find you a space? So, you know, those are kind of the little details you talk about. It's not so much I can't just make up a drill that's going to make you score next game. It's more the process and the thought process you have to go through to get there.
In the last games, you frequently changed the line combinations. Why haven't we seen more stable formations right now?
I think it's because of maybe the little bit of the up and down play, just trying to find chemistry, right? Trying to find who's sparked someone else or what line combinations work a little bit. And sometimes it's just a little bit of a message being, hey, like I need more from you. I'll pull you back a little bit and give someone else an opportunity who I feel is playing. But I think it's important to find consistency in your lineup and in your line so they can start to read off each other. They can start to talk on the bench about, you know, positional, where they're going to be, you know, what they're thinking. So we've stuck with some lines that we've had over the 10 games that I've found have had a little bit of chemistry. And, you know, that's how we'll approach Friday.
And we're talking what is not working right now, but are there, or do you currently see a progress in the team, on the team, even if it's not reflected in the results yet?
I see a lot of good. I see a lot of good in the identity I see this team play at. Like I came in and we wanted to play a game that was high paced against Nauheim. And I think you see a little bit of that because of the ozone time we have, the puck possession time we have. The amount of shots we have, we were constantly kind of pushing to get in their zone, and we didn't have to defend as much. I think we were very structural in games one and two, and I think games three and four against them, I think we felt the squeeze of trying to score more than realizing, hey, we can just defend and wait for those opportunities. And I think that became important, and that was another kind of learning topic that we said. Sometimes the game's like a snooker match or a pool game, right? You want to try a high risk shot, but what are you going to leave your opponent? And maybe he gets that opportunity to score, or like in snooker, he gets that opportunity to run the table on you. So sometimes you have to give up a little bit of offense just to play this strategic, you know, battle.
You mentioned that it's a progress, and how do you convince the players to believe in that progress without wins?
That's not easy, right? It's not easy because they want, it's a very result-driven business. We talk about and we show good positive clips on, hey, here's our identity, here's how we want to play. Look what happens when we play this way. We have pockets of the game where, right, it feels like all the momentum's in our favor, and whether we score or not, which obviously we haven't been scoring, but you still feel the momentum swing and you still feel like you have the game in your grasp because you're pushing the pace and you're playing in their zone. And it's a matter of, like I said, just continuing to believe in that process that, you know, a break or two, a puck or two, getting to the net, maybe something off a skate or a screenshot's going to go in for us. And that sparks the avalanche there.
So let's have a look on the series against Kaufbeuren.
Yeah, let's look a bit forward. What have you learned about your opponents so far?
Yeah, well, they're, you know, a team that's in a very similar situation to us. And I don't expect the series to go any different than the last one we had. It's going to be tight checking. You know, teams are going to be very desperate for every goal, for every win. Like Nauheim, I expect them to block a whole lot of shots. I think we have to improve our shot blocking, and I think we have to be comfortable as a group to play in a one goal game. And I think, you know, they proved it against Freiburg. They were all one goal games, so, you know, I don't expect anything different. I don't think we're going to magically find our scoring touch and score four or five. I think we're going to have to be comfortable, you know, scoring one and two and finding ways to win when you score one or two. And if our power play can get going and if our penalty kill can stay as good as it has been, then, you know, we'll stay in games and we'll be able to manage the game that way.
How much video have you watched at this point concerning Kaufbeuren?
I've watched quite a bit. I think you try and find any little advantage or any little trick that maybe, you know, a face-off play they've ran, you know, a little while back, and you try and just give the players as much information as they can so nothing kind of surprises you. But, you know, come Friday when that puck drops, it's going to be, I'm going to line up in front of the guy beside me, and if I'm willing to win more puck battles than he is, if I'm willing to be a little bit more desperate for that puck, then we'll get the advantage early.
Who do you see more often in the last days, your wife or Travis Turnbull?
Okay. Probably both. I mean, we've, you know, she's a huge supporter of mine, and yes. You know, which is why she's over here, and she's used to watching hockey with me. I always get a few texts in between periods of things that she sees up in the stands. So, you know what? I appreciate everything.
Okay. If you had to name one decisive factor, what would it be in this series against Kaufbeuren?
Oh, I think it's going to come down to the team that believes in their plan the most, the team that's willing to be desperate enough to go execute it. There's going to be moments where you're going to need someone to block a shot. You're going to need someone to take a hit to get a puck out. And if we're willing to do that, that'll be the difference.
Okay, and your team enters the series with a small advantage. So there is already a win. Nice. How important is that psychologically? Or doesn't it matter in any way?
Yeah. Well, I think it matters a little bit. I think it matters more. It matters more after the result Friday, okay. Depending on which way it goes. I think when you go into this series, you're still, we don't know, we know what to expect, but we don't really know what to expect from the intensity of the series. You know, if it goes in our favor on Friday, then that one game advantage is huge because you're up two. If it doesn't go, you know, the way we expected and it's 1-1, does it give them a slight advantage or does it allow them to come back? Possibly, but it gives you that feeling in the first game that you can really, really put your foot on them and maybe grab a stranglehold of the series. So I expect that first game to be, you know, high paced, high intensity and a fun hockey game to play in.
Okay. And are there any updates on the injured players? Is anyone making a surprise return?
At this moment, we're as status quo as what we had in the Nauheim series. Okay. So there's not, you know, we're still evaluating a few guys and we had a couple sicknesses and stuff. So our lineup will get set probably by Friday morning at morning skate. We'll know who's available and who's not.
Okay. There is either a little chance that Neil Szymanski or Luis Maros will come back.
Possibly. Yes. Okay. There's always a chance. I think this time of year, guys are willing to, you know, play through a lot.
Okay. A person who is the most discussed person in the social media, I think, is Michael McNiven. Michael McNiven's performances are often viewed very critically by the fans and usually more critically than its actual, than his performance would justify, I think. How do you turn him in such a short time into a goalie who can stabilize a struggling team? Who can win you a game, probably, like Jerry Kuhn did for Nauheim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you sit and talk with Michael, he's feeling the same way, right? He's feeling that he's got to find his game to help turn a series and help contribute in a game. And I think if you look at those games, some of the scoring chances we gave up, we needed to be tighter in front of him. We needed to, you know, box out so he didn't get screened on a couple. And I think he's played well in the series, and he's played well since I got here. And I know him from back in junior, and he's won some huge hockey games for us, and he's a highly competitive young man. And I think he's focused. He looks focused in practice. He's done a great job this week preparing for this series coming up on Friday.
Okay. And the atmosphere around the club right now, it seems very nervous, very frustrated at times. Do you feel that tension?
I think there's moments where you feel it. I think it's important for us to kind of recognize it, talk about it, and realize that, you know, at the end of the day, this is a sport that, you know, they play for fun. They play for fun, but it's also a sport that's given them, you know, every opportunity that they've had. And I think it's just, again, finding that belief in your teammate, the belief in your own game, and start with that, and then find the small moments when the game starts Friday. So you're first, you know, if you're the centerman taking the opening draw, you gain confidence from that first faceoff win. And then, you know, that defenseman who makes that first breakout pass, you get confidence from that. And then, you know, we go out on a power play, and those first two scoring chances that maybe we generate on the power play, we find the confidence in the small things over the course of a game, because there's so many moments in the game that are going to affect the outcome, and some moments are bigger than others, and it's, you can't get wrapped up in just the one. You've got to just play every one that comes up and believe in your teammate is going to, you know, do the little things, and you believe in yourself to do the little things.
And how do you handle the external pressure as a coach?
I think as a coach, you kind of, you want to take on all that pressure and absorb a lot of it for the players, right? I want them just solely focused on what they have to do with their game. So, you know, all the distractions away from the rink, all the distractions, you know, in the public can all come to me, and I can shoulder all that with my staff and Jurgen, and we can let the players do what they do best, and that's compete and play hockey.
Any fans are worried about relegation? What would you like to say them right now? Come to the stadium. Push
yeah,
us.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, continue to have faith and continue to believe in the process. We've got the group that we have. There's no miracle coming. I think we can find it within ourselves to get the job done. But I think we have to realize how tough of a challenge it is. That's why you play. That's the sport. That's the fun part of it is like I said, they get to rewrite the story of their season coming up starting Friday, and they can write it in a positive way, or it'll be written in the way it was written. But we can erase all the adversity and all the ups and downs they had from July till now with a good week.
I come from the football, and there is a proper locker room party has worked wonders more than once. Has there been anything like that with the Blue Devils?
We've got together a little bit, and
that's the best way.
It is. You need to bond with your teammates and realize that, you know, this team will never be the exact same team again. So you might as well enjoy every moment you have from now till the end of the season, because you're going to see some of these guys. You might never see some of these guys again, but you'll always have that little bond, and it becomes so important to hold on to it and cherish it.
Okay, and before we will talk about the personal situation of Alan Letang and his first impressions here in Weiden, we will have a little and a short commercial break.
Ihr hört den Powerplay-Podcast von Oberpfalz Medien, präsentiert von der Meierhöfer-Gruppe mit ihren Produktionsstandorten in Erbendorf, Eschenbach und Pressat. Ob Maschinenbau, Anlagenbau oder hochspezialisierte Fertigungstechniken, die Meierhöfer-Gruppe steht für höchste Qualität und maßgeschneiderte Lösungen. Mit modernster Technik, einem starken Team und unserem Motto »Geht nicht, gibt's nicht« setzen wir neue Maßstäbe. Du willst Teil dieser Erfolgsgeschichte werden? Dann besuche unser Karriereportal unter www.meierhofer-gruppe.de. Hier warten spannende Jobangebote und berufliche Perspektiven auf dich, sowohl kaufmännisch als auch gewerblich, von der Ausbildung bis hin zu Positionen für erfahrene Fachkräfte. Und nun weiterhin viel Spaß mit dem Powerplay-Podcast.
Willkommen zurück beim Powerplay Podcast. Wir sprechen heute mit Alan Letang, dem Trainer der Blue Devils Weiden. And Tom, let's have a look on the personal situation and his first impressions here in Weiden.
Yeah, and that's the first question from this blog. What were your first impressions of Weiden and the region, and how would you experience your being here by now beyond the results on the ice? So more private, Alan Letang.
Yeah, it's been a very pleasant surprise. I know, you know, when I first came over, it's coming back after, you know, 10 plus years of coming over and playing, and you forget how much you miss. You forget the downtown areas and walking around and enjoying, you know, a few coffees and some entertainment outside. The place I'm staying at, out at the Schendelhof, is a beautiful little area. So we've been able to, you know, go for a few walks and some hiking. So it's been nice when I first got over here, because I was doing, like I said, my face was buried in a computer trying to, you know, kind of get up to speed on the league, get up to speed on the team. But I've enjoyed some quiet time out there, which has been perfect.
Has anything about the club or the environment surprised you?
I think the people around it have been amazing. They've welcomed me with open arms, and I've enjoyed that. They've been very supportive and very helpful. I think when you get to see your first game, you forget the atmosphere that you become a part of, the fans and the support that's around the community. You drive into the rink and, everyone's already there getting ready for the game. So that's been a great experience. My coaching staff with me has been amazing to help me out. They've been very supportive. So I've been very impressed with the professionalism of the Blue Devils.
And your wife is recently here with you in Weiden. What were you able to show her in the city, or did you have time to show her anything here in the region?
Yeah, probably not enough time as much as she would like. I think we've been pretty stuck to just a few little places. Obviously, we've walked around the Altstadt and downtown area a little bit. We've obviously stayed out and done some walking around the Schendelhof, but to get an opportunity to travel or tour anywhere yet too far outside, we haven't had that opportunity. We'll probably take that opportunity at the end of the series. But that was part of the reason for her coming over too, was to get us back into this experience and to see what it's like and to see if we enjoy it.
How important is that kind of personal support in a situation like this?
I think it's massive. I think it's she's been in my corner right from when I was a player, from day one, right? Mm-hmm. When we first got together and I was 25 years old playing and you're still immature a little bit. And then you go through, your family life, with two kids, my son Aiden and my daughter Ava. They grew up in, parts of Germany, parts of Austria and in Croatia. And without that support, you can't sustain this life, or you have to make a choice. And the choice would have been clear that it would have been my family. But, that support from my kids and my wife has been incredible.
Are the kids here too? No.
No, they're off. They're older now. My son's 24, my daughter's 22. So they're off living their own life right now. Okay. But I do get text messages every now and then about stuff. And when I first came over, my son does video for the Sarnia Sting, the junior club. And I put him to work too. I was saying, hey, can you, do a pre-scout on this team just to help me catch up and, look at some of these players and give me a feeling. So, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
So he's a little bit into hockey too.
He loves hockey. Yes. He's yes. He wants to be either a scout or a general manager one time. And he remembers the smallest little details of the game, which is so important. So
yeah. Sounds good. I know a club where there would be some need. but with such an intense schedule, is there at all any time at the moment to enjoy life outside hockey, or is it at the moment 24/7 survival mode?
it kind of feels like at the moment it's probably 24 hours of hockey. I know Chrissy does a great job of trying to get me to leave the game at the rink for a few hours so we can go and do some stuff. But I think if you asked her, she would say she enjoys in sharing those conversations about the game, on what direction I'm kind of thinking about taking the team. I bounce a lot of ideas off her and get her opinion on a lot of things that I want to, I'm going to go in and have a meeting. Here's what I talk about, or do I go in this direction, or how do I handle maybe this situation? So she's been in it with me right from the start. So she's got about as much experience as I have from that side.
Okay. You've worked in junior hockey and in North America, and what are the biggest differences compared to the second division, to the DL2 in Germany?
Yeah, I think when I first came over, thinking back when I was first over here,
as a player,
the league has improved so much over the last little bit. Like the obviously the DEL is the DEL, but even this, the second league here, the competitiveness, the quality of the German players, the quality of the imports has gone up since I've been here. So that was a pleasant surprise and a little bit of an adjustment to understand and get to know that, these players are still striving for the same, the same goals that, you had 10, 15 years ago. So coming over, you had to make sure, you had some detail on how you were going to help them, improve, how you're going to help the team improve. Coming from junior, you micromanage the kids a little bit more because they're away from home and they're living with billets. Over here, you've got a lot of, guys on their own, and and they're already, you know, mature adults that have their own lives that they're living. So it's, you don't have to look after the players quite as much. It's more just trying to find ways to build that relationship. So you build that trust between them. They trust me. They trust the things I'm saying. I trust them on the ice. You know, I trust that they're going to do some of the things. And I think when they're older, you can have that healthy back and forth. They can have those adult conversations that, hey, well, why am I doing this? Or why do I want to do that? And you have that little bit of back and forth. So I learn a little bit. I learn more from the players sometimes as they're older than I do from sometimes when I was coaching junior.
Okay. Is the game here in Germany, would you describe it as more tactical, more physical, or how would you describe it in comparison with Canadian hockey?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. I think with the big ice surface, it's a different game. You would think with more space and more time, you'd find ways to generate offense a little bit more. But I find with the big ice, it kind of takes away from the offense, because players are at times you want to get into space where you can have a second or two to breathe. Where I think the North American game with the smaller ice, and maybe that's why the IIHF loves the NHL size rink. There's way more tight checking. There's way more puck battles where now it's more of a one-on-one. I've just got to beat you in this little puck battle, get it inside the dots or get off the wall, and I'm allowed to score. Where the bigger ice, you know, there's more space outside the dots, which in turn is not the area you want to score in. You want to get the puck in. And I think if teams don't recognize the size of the ice, they tend to be left on the perimeter. And I think coming over here, I wanted us to play a little bit of a faster style, a little bit of a north-south style, where we don't want to bring pucks back and try and regroup or go back behind our net and stop and then let the other team set up in their structure. I think with the bigger ice surface, we have to catch teams out of structure, and that means playing as fast as we can north.
Okay. We'll have a look on Friday.
We will.
Looking back, are there aspects of the job or the league that you may have underestimated or misjudged?
Well, yeah, I think, like I said, the surprise of the quality, the depth in the league, coming in, you've got teams that are, Rosenheim's and those teams, you know, on any given night, if a team plays the right way, they're capable of winning, right? It's not a very lopsided where, you know, you have your top five teams that are always the top five teams and the bottom teams don't have much of a chance or vice versa. So I think on any given night, if you play well enough and you have an opportunity to win, and I think the parity in the league has been a surprise.
Did you expect this challenge to be easier than it is? I know you're not a fan of this question.
No. I think I knew it was going to be a challenge coming. It's hard to say. I think it's been more of a challenge than maybe I anticipated, and maybe if I look is part of it, maybe thinking that I had the answer before I came here, maybe knowing that I could just come in and try and change this way or change this style. I think, like I said, I think a team that goes through this much adversity, and loses or their confidence is eroded, maybe getting it back doesn't happen as quick as maybe we had maybe anticipated. And it was more, we've got to find ways to lean on each other a little bit more. And I think that's kind of the direction we've gone after the Nauheim series, or even after the end of regulation going in. I thought, you know, we felt pretty good going into that Nauheim series. And I thought those first two games, we played very well, and a puck bounce here maybe changes the game. We can't change that now. And I think the biggest thing, like I said, games three and four, we got completely away from the way we played games one and two and weren't able to get back in the series. So
looking back on your career, which has been the most challenging job so far? Is it Wieden or
I think they all have their own unique challenges. I think, obviously in Sarnia, we had a team that, at one moment, we thought we could take a run at a championship and we fell a little bit short. And then we had those 2 years of development and struggling a little bit. So, you know, I thought I'd have a little bit of that to lean onto, but this has been a completely different, kind of challenge struggle wise. And, you know, I've gone through that as a player. I've played on some teams that were, you know, supposed to be better than their seasons were. And you know what it's like when you get caught in that adversity. All you see and all you feel is the negativity, and you feel all the noise outside, and we've got to just keep that away. And like I said, get back to believing in each other, trusting our process and moving forward that way.
You don't know it right now, but we will sit here perhaps again in a few weeks. What would need to have happened for you to call this a successful stretch? Is the series win against Kaufbeuren? Or
yeah, I think that's the ultimate. That's okay. The ultimate goal, right? We came over here. It was to try and get into the pre-playoffs, and that wasn't, we couldn't make that. And then it was to, you know, to finish off the first series, and it didn't. So I think, like I said, we're all trying to rewrite the story here of this season. And I think if we write it the way we want to write it with the outcome we want or the outcome we're pushing for, then, you know, I think we can look back and say, at least we got a crack at it again next year.
Okay. And I think we have a few questions from the fans, but it's also on my script and our script. What would to stay in the DL2? What would that mean to you personally? There are many questions. Mm-hmm. Will you stay in Weiden? Will you be coach at the Blue Devils in the next season?
Yeah, I think that's something we'll address after the series for sure. I think coming here, there was an option or a thought process. Let's go see what it's like. Let's see if we like it as a family, and then see if that's a spot we want to stay for the future. Like I said, I love the city. I love the organization. So, you know, that's a positive. But I think our focus needs to be on the series on Friday. So I think, like I said, if my role is to eliminate all these distractions, then I need to keep all the thing, my personal stuff out of the dressing room. I need to keep everything out of the dressing room for those players. And our focus will be what gives them the best opportunity on Friday to perform at their best level. So
I'm looking at TomTom. There are a few questions of fans, but the first question is not a question. I think it's a picture.
It's a picture. It's a picture from some guys. I suppose you know very, very well. By now, it's Kolb. It's
Maxi Kolb.
Fabian Voigt, who's doing the thumbs up for you. I don't know if he's referring to the next game or just a podcast recording.
I think it's a locker room party.
Looks like a locker room party. I think pictures made by Luis Marusch.
Ah, okay. Okay.
So your players give you the thumb up. And the second question also is, at the end of the day, not a question. Can you please get us across the finish line? We don't need it to be pretty. Just get it done.
That's the plan. I think that's the important part, right? It doesn't need to be pretty. We just, you know, we can play a hockey game that just finishes off with a win. And I think that's kind of the mindset. That picture, we had a nice dinner last night as a team. We got together as a group and just kind of talked about the series, talked about, you know, like we said, finding that passion, finding that love of the game again, and appreciating all the moments that we're going to go through in the next 5-6 days. And then we got to go share in a real nice meal. So it was enjoyable. It was nice to see the players interact with each other with their guards down and just kind of take a deep breath and enjoy, you know, enjoy that team atmosphere and just hang out like a bunch of buddies.
I think that's more important in this situation than one more practice. And
I think it is too, yes.
Yes. And I think we have answered all the questions. Why are there many line changes? How would you, are you staying in Weiden?
How to avoid relegation.
Yes.
So, but there are some other questions.
Ooh, I didn't see it. Oh, Okay, then it's up to you.
Yeah, the first one, of course, my favorite question. It's a question for Alan Letang, of course. Do you think Fabian, the guy to my right, to my left, knows anything about hockey?
What's that? What's that's my colleague.
Yeah, that's your colleague.
Sure. I was going to say it sounds
like
a colleague.
Should we go to the next one?
Just answer the question,
no,
please.
No, come on.
Okay.
He likes to dig deep on questions. It's good. I enjoy some of those questions. You don't get the standard questions. I'll get a text on the bus and he'll want the voice memo and the question. So I get a little bit of a chuckle for sure.
I enjoyed your answer. I'm not a fan of this question.
Yeah, he's honest. Just an honest guy.
That's a better way than, I asked Patrick Reimer, the Jürgen Rumrich of Kaufbeuren. I got no answers. They only bullshit and nonsense. And it's better than is there the honest coach. It's not your bone of your better question.
Some personal questions.
Yes, from your assistant coach, Mr. Heidenreich, had a question. What's your favorite drink so far since you're here?
The politically correct answer would be just the standard coffee with milk, but I do enjoy some of the beer over here, definitely. I've had an opportunity with my staff to sit around and tell some old stories and get to know them over a couple beers. So that's the side of the game that you'll always love, right? Those talks of and telling old stories.
Okay.
There's a question. Do you got players or do you know players in the league you think that are nice or sympathetic? It doesn't matter if it's in your own team or the opponent's. Are there players perhaps in your opponent's team where you think, oh, when I see that face?
It's nice coming across some players that you've coached. It's kind of that transition age now where like Michael McNiven, for example, yeah. Some guys that I coached in junior when they were 18, 19 are now coming over and taking on this journey over in Europe. And, you know, since I've taken the job here, I've had a few, people from back home reach out just wondering, what it's like over there. How do you get into the DEL2? How do you get into Europe? That kind of stuff. So it's nice that people reach out because that means you've left a little bit of an impression in the 1 or 2 years you've coached them that they're willing to kind of reach out. So I take a lot of pride in that.
Very personal question. How old were you when you started to play hockey?
Ooh, I was quite young. I was probably about 4 or 5 years old. Okay. You get a pair of skates for Christmas, and I think they were just the strap-ons on your boots, and it was just two blades, and you'd walk around. And fortunate enough, growing up in Ottawa, there was lots of outdoor rinks. My dad made an outdoor rink, so I was able to get on the ice, very, very early. I think back to when my son first started skating, we were in Bridgeport and he would run everywhere in his skates, but he never wanted to get on the ice. And it was so hard to get him on the ice, but he loved putting his skates on. So I think it's always different how kids transition.
How old was your son?
Would he have been in
first time on the ice?
His first time on the ice.
Four?
Yeah, 4 or 5.
My son is 4 years and it took 30 minutes. Then it was mommy. And it was over. Yeah. And now we'll have to wait a little bit.
So your son won't be a hockey star?
No, today actually it's tennis and football and in winter, in the summer, now I want to play ice hockey.
Of course. That's always the way, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay.
Then
I think there is the other questions we have already.
We've covered many of the questions. There's
how do you want to score goals?
Yeah, blah, blah, by shooting them.
I think there is one.
Yeah.
Good.
The closing remark.
We believe in you, coach. Keep him motivated.
Well, that's it. That's the plan for sure. And I think that's important, right?
You seem to have made an impression on some of the fans too.
Well, it's nice to hear that. I mean, I think all the players, everyone in the organization, from Jurgen to myself to Mozzie to, you know, Simon, we want what's best. We find ways to help the players in the best way we can. And I think there's no shortage of people in this organization that want to work hard and give everyone the best they can, right from the, you know, the players' wives. They're part of this as much as the players are, because, you know, they're taking distractions away from the players on a game day. If there's small children or just, you know, just helping them kind of decompress a little bit. So I think it's a family here. The family atmosphere was something I felt right from the start. And I think that's something we have to get back to leaning on and being, making sure it's important, because everyone's in it together, and we're going to win and we're going to lose as a team. And, you know, we're way stronger as a group of 50 plus people plus our fans.
And the trouble on social media is not the real life, and there are a few and many, many, many fans who are believing in you and your team that stay in the DL2. And we have still so many questions about Alan De Tang as a person, Alan De Tang as a coach, his leadership style and his extensive, massive experience in the world of ice hockey. But that would go beyond the scope of today's interview. We'll postpone that until after survival in the DL2 has been secured. And at the same time, we extend another invitation to you to join us again after the series against Kauf Beuren. And hopefully then we have to talk exclusively about more pleasant things.
That sounds like a plan. Yes. I'd love that.
Okay. Mr. Le Tang, thank you for coming. Thank you for your time and your openness. We wish you and the whole team all the best and good luck for the upcoming series.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Und wir hören uns nächste Woche wieder. Nochmal hier, der Vollständigkeit halber, Freitag, Sonntag, Dienstag, Donnerstag,
und dann
Samstag.
Ist sie vorbei, oder?
Ja, eben, dann ist sie vorbei.
Siege, also drei Siege plus
genau,
der eine.
Genau. Am Dienstag, im Optimalfall, ist es am Dienstag vorbei.
Ja, super. Passt.
Und im Zweitagesrhythmus geht es jetzt weiter bis zu den Osterfeiertagen. Geht es jetzt hier für die Blue Devils um alles. Bis dann, nächste Woche.
Ciao, ciao.
Werbung.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Werbung Ende.